Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
I'm Shaylin.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares.
I'm back.
Yes, you're back.
You lucky.
So we had to push this one a little bit, and now I regret that.
Why?
Well, because this story is really hard for me. So going into it, I knew it was controversial. There's a lot of people out there that just don't believe it.
You think he did it for attention?
No, I don't know. Well, I mean, I hate to ever say, like, especially this story and the effect that it had on so many people. I hate to say that somebody would just make that up.
That's true. But I think he went into so much detail that it's hard to say he made it up.
Yeah.
Like, he documented stuff, but you never know.
Right.
What are we
doing? So we're doing, go there. We're going to do the Union Screaming House.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say something funny first.
Why?
Well, because Nick, my brother's boyfriend, Nick, he's so nice.
What? Nick, I think she's calling you out.
He listens and it's. Funny story. You remember a few weeks ago, I don't know, like a month ago probably now, I said that I had found a new thing to call everyone, and I was going to call them buddies.
I think he came to me as well.
So he asks me, are we married to the idea of buddies?
Because he doesn't like it.
I'm like, no, I was just kidding. And then whenever I was editing the next week's episode, I said it on there too, and I was like, well, he's gonna be mad at me and think I lied to him. But yeah, I just thought that was really funny, and I wanted to say that because we haven't really talked about it much since, but I thought it was really funny that he was like, are we married to this?
I like how he put it.
Instead of saying stop saying that, it's stupid, he was gentle with my feelings.
So no more buddies. Jeez, Nick.
Yeah.
I love it.
Cheese Nick. That's what it sounded like you said.
Jeez.
So the Union Screaming House. So this is one that I picked for the month of October for the reason that it is terrifying. Terrifying. And so this is one that is comparable, I believe I even said so before, to Amityville. It makes me think of Amityville and the Conjuring House. With the Perrin family. So, Amityville, the Lutz family lasted a full 28 days before they fled their house, right?
Mm-hmm.
This family in this house lasted 13.
Wow.
Yeah. So, they got the hell out much quicker than the Lutz family. So, maybe we'll do Amityville sometime, just so those of our listeners that only listen to us will know what we're talking about if they don't know that story. But I think a lot of people know that story, so that's another reason it's easy to compare to, besides the fact that they fled their house after a short amount of time.
You'd have to get real bad to flee a house that you bought.
Rented.
Either.
Yeah.
Like moved in already and settled in. And then
yeah. That's why so many people are always like, why don't they just move? And it's like, hi, how much have you moved? Because that's really expensive. Mm-hmm. And you could be sued, right? Like there's a lot of things that goes into just moving.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sell a house. And then what? You're going to pay two mortgages while you're waiting for that house to sell? Yeah.
And if you're renting, you have deposits. And
yeah. It's a little different. You have a lease that you're going to be sued for abandoning. So there's all that fun stuff.
Let's see if you would abandon this one afterwards.
Yeah. So we're talking about Stephen LaChance and his family. So Stephen, he wrote a book. I bought the book. I read the book in about a day.
Like always.
And So, I mean, I had to read the book to get the full story, although you can find most of it online. Mm-hmm. He's not really one of those authors, in my opinion, that hides his stuff and says, oh, well, if you read the book, you'll find that out, mm-hmm. because it's all over the internet everywhere. So, you'll see why. He had a really kind of shitty few years, okay? And he was very, very down on, I don't want to say luck, because it was just, I mean, shit happened to this guy, mm-hmm. okay? So he found himself a single father with three kids, two boys, and the oldest is a girl. And he needed a place to live. And he finds an article in the paper about, or an ad, I guess, in the paper for this house in Union, Missouri. He lives in Union, has his whole life, from what I understood, pretty much. And so he goes to see this house, and it is just great. It's this charming little house, looks like grandma's house. It's great. And it's got a basement, it's two stories, lovely. And when he's having this house shown, it's like this big museum tour. Like, mm-hmm. that's how this landlord is kind of eccentric and is like going through all the, like, ooh, look at this. This is, and like he would explain like the historical significance of this whatever. And so he and his daughter, who tore the house, they really want this house. And so they put in their application, make sure they're the first ones in, and he gets a call a week later and they've got the house. And so he has to go sign the lease, right? And the first thing that happens, it's kind of odd, is the landlord wants to meet at a restaurant to sign the lease. And this guy's like, oh crap, I thought I was gonna get to go back to the house. Mm-hmm. You know how exciting that is. And he insists that he doesn't have enough time to go all the way to the house. He needs to meet him at a restaurant in town. And so in town, anybody from the Boondocks says in town, so that's just how I talk. So they meet at a restaurant where the landlord orders a burger and eats a meal and goes through the lease point by point. So it takes a long time to get through this meeting, plenty of time that they could have been at the house.
Ding, ding, weird. Ding.
Uh-huh. So
weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
It is weird. So that's just weird. You said that.
I said that three times.
Okay, moving on. We know it's weird. He also tells him, he doesn't give him the keys at this lease signing, which is another odd thing. No, he wants to meet him at the house on like a Thursday at 2:00 in the afternoon to give him the keys. And they're going to do like a detailed inspection for the move-in.
So they couldn't do that all at once. It had to be
different
times.
So this guy, Stephen LaChance, of course, is like, dude, I work a job. I can't just show up at a random weekday on 2:00, you know? Like, mm-hmm. no, I can't do that. I have a life to live. And he tells him, like, 6 p.m. is the earliest I can meet you. And the guy is very reluctant, but finally agrees that he will meet him at the house at 6, but he has to be gone before dark because he can't see to drive at night.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Of course, that would be true if it were me.
For real.
And if it's raining, forget about it. So, during the walkthrough, the guy is like super detailed on the downstairs, right? Super, super detailed. Like checking the blinds, each little, like.
What?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. And he just kind of casually says, you don't believe in ghosts, do you?
That's an odd question to ask.
And so Stephen LaChance is, he's not really a believer. I don't think he's ever really considered it, is where he was at that point. And he was like, no, I don't guess. So the guy was very jumpy. They're getting ready to go up the stairs and the refrigerator shoots out some ice, you know, the ice maker falls. The guy like jumps out of his skin, freaks out. What was that? And so LaChance is like, that was the ice maker. And from that point forward, the guy is super shook up. And so he like rushes through the upstairs.
Not so even his time downstairs. Yeah. And then,
well, dark is coming.
Gotcha.
It's approaching quickly. And so he's like, I gotta go. So he was ready to go. He was out before dark. So the next thing that happens, they're moving their stuff in. Mm-hmm. And this car comes driving up. And they just slow down and kind of yell out the window and say, I hope you get along here okay.
And then just drive off?
And then
off?
They sped up and drove away.
Yeah. Interesting.
I know. We'd be like, thanks.
That's like some weird flags going on.
Yeah. So another thing they notice about the house that's odd, they notice that the doors inside all have the hook and eye latches, but they're on the outside of the doors. So like the bedroom door, you can lock it, but from the outside, not the inside of the bedroom.
Yeah, that's some weird stuff.
Yes.
I don't know how many times I'm going to say weird, but sketchy maybe is a word.
So the parlor, the living room, the family room, I don't remember, one of those rooms, it had like a border along the ceiling with the cherubs, the little baby angels. And so his daughter has this picture of angels and she says, this is going to go. Of course, she's like 12 years old. So she is designing this house, right? She's at that age. And so she's like, this picture is going to hang here because it matches the angels on the border. Aww. Yeah. And so he takes the picture and he hangs it up and he turns around. And boom, the picture's fallen off the wall. Okay. So he picks it up.
Oh, I'm sure he said, okay.
He picks it up. He hangs it on the wall, turns around to walk away. Boom. It falls. Okay. So he picks it up. He hangs it on the wall. And he's like, stay there. And he walked away and it stayed there.
He actually said, stay there?
Yeah. I don't remember if it was the third or the fourth time. Because one time he like actually felt like when the picture fell. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Weird.
I know.
All this is weird.
Yeah.
Would you be thinking stuff if this stuff was happening? Like,
I don't know. I think moving day is like
just so hectic.
Yeah. Yeah. So during the whole picture thing, his daughter yells at him and says, hey, come outside, daddy boo. He runs outside.
Daddy.
He doesn't run outside. He like walks. Things are fine at this point. And so they're watching the neighbors that are walking on the sidewalk. And they notice that they'll come walking down the sidewalk on this side of the street. And then when they get to the property line for the house they live in, they cross the street and go to the other side.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They won't walk in front of their house.
What the heck? Yeah.
So the little girl's like, why are they scared of our house? Why won't they walk in front of our house? And, you know, I mean, if I were him, I would be
neighbors,
like,
what's going on?
I'd be like, they know we're moving. They're trying to stay out of the way. Like, it's fine. Yeah. So that never stops. They notice that the whole time they live there, nobody walks in front of their house.
Wow.
On the second night in the house, the daughter had to sleep in her own room. So they had to put her bed up. Of course, they put up the dad's bed and then the boys could sleep with him, right? But the daughter is like, I'm sleeping in my own room. Because she's 12 and, you know, grown up.
Who would want to sleep with a bunch of brothers and a dad?
I know. So the next morning, though, he finds her in his bed.
Okay, she does.
So there you go. She said that her closet door kept opening and she heard boxes moving around in the other rooms and she got scared. So that's when you want to sleep with your dad and your brothers. Surround me with protection. Okay, on Sunday, that first Sunday, they moved in on a Friday. So on Sunday afternoon, kids, you know, the kids have gone to church. They come home. And they decided they're going to clean up the front yard and do some yard work and kind of, you know, have their good time outside. So he sends the boys in to get a water hose from the basement. Well, one of them comes out alone and he hears the other one screaming from inside the house. So he runs inside the house and he finds that boy standing in the kitchen, shaking and pointing at the basement door, saying "monster."
Aw, poor kid.
And I don't remember how old these kids were, but they weren't. I mean, they weren't babies, but they weren't big kids either. I mean, she's 12 and the oldest. So he said the monster had chased him up the stairs. So it's funny. LaChance talks about this, and I've heard him do many interviews and tell about this, about how he does his dad thing where he says, "Oh, no monster here. Let's go down the stairs. No monster here." You know? So that's what he does. And the kid's like, "Screw you, Dad. I saw it."
Pretty much. I'm sure he was.
So then they go to dinner at his parents' house, at LaChance's parents' house. And they come home and every light in the house is on.
Thank you. All of them.
And he notices that the temperature is very cold in the house. And so he adjusts the thermostat, and that's the second time he had adjusted the thermostat in less than 24 hours. He notices earlier in the day, "Oh, it's quite cold in here." Adjust the thermostat up. And then they come home. "Oh, it's quite cold in here." Adjust it up again on top of what he'd already done. Wow. So he said he just figured the AC worked really well. Too well. There's one instance he tells about. He is folding clothes in the family room, I think is what he called it. And his son goes by to go to the bathroom. The same son that seen the monster in the basement.
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah. So shortly after, he hears him scream. And he comes running through and he like catches him running. And he said that a clown monster came rushing at him from upstairs. So it came rushing down the stairs. The bathroom was at the end of the stairs. Ugh. Yeah. So he's really worried about his son because everything that's kind of happened in their lives and is this mental trauma that is playing out, right? Which makes sense. That's absolutely what you would think. If
what happened in their lives? I assume the mother.
Yes, the mother left. Decided she did not want to be a mother anymore. And what? Left.
Three kids?
Uh-huh. So
it breaks my heart.
Yeah, you can imagine the kind of trauma that those children had been through. And so when you hear a kid say a clown monster, you automatically are going to think they're making this up, right? There's something going on and they're needing something from you is why they would say that.
Right.
Because that's not normal. So he goes and does his dad thing again. New monster here. And he seems to get him a little calmed down. And then they all go to bed. And that night, Stephen, dad, is awoken by a noise. He raises up and he sees an old man in a red flannel shirt standing in his bedroom door staring at him.
Oh, I got goosebumps.
Yeah. Whew. I'd be like, "Papa, what are you doing?" He rubs his eyes and the man's gone. He just laughs it off and thinks, "These damn kids,
they're getting to me.
They have got to me. They're making me crazy. Now I'm seeing old men." So, goes back to sleep. It's fine. He started noticing the lights that were on
staying
by
on.
Themselves. Mm-hmm. So, he would make sure to turn out all the lights before he left for the day. And then when they came home at night, they would all be on.
So great. He's noticing, like, he's making sure he's turned them off.
So what he did was, he told his parents about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite close with his parents. It's beautiful, actually. I loved the relationship between him and his father in particular.
Aww.
That's why I would recommend the book. And I'll put it in the notes, probably. Even though, you know, he didn't ask me to. So he tells his parents about it. And his mom, of course, is like, the kids are leaving them on. You know, that's just how it is. Just like you said. And so he tells them, okay, we'll see about that. Because me and daughter made sure to turn them all off before we left. So we both know that all the lights were off and made it a point mm-hmm. before we left.
Wow.
Yes. So they drive up to the house. All the lights are on.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So his dad calls him and is like, hey, is everything okay? And he's like, no, it's not. All the lights are on. And so he calls the landlord and tells him, like, something's going on. All the lights are on when we come home every night. And the landlord offers to send an electrician. And he pretty much says, no, my dad's going to come and take a look at it. He's a contractor. He can, you know, if there's something, we can let you know. He also starts noticing this electric shock, is how he describes it, in his body. So he says it starts deep inside his body and moves out. All of his hair stood on end, and when it went away, the air was, and his body was ice cold.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's this electric charge. So his dad comes over the next day to check on these things that they've talked about, and they're sitting downstairs after he's taken a look at things. And they're talking, you know, just visiting. And they hear a thump on the floor upstairs. And his dad said, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Not the thump. He's feeling that electric charge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so his dad pretty much just gets scared and leaves. He's like,
I'm out.
Okay, well, bye, kids. I gotta get going. And so he's out. And so later on, he asks Steven, do you think that your house may be haunted? Like, he's the first one that finally says, you think it's haunted? Because something's going on there. And Steven's just like, I'm sure there's a logical explanation. It's fine. Everything's fine. So
everything's fine.
He was actually visiting his parents when his dad pulled him aside and asked him that. That night, whenever he got home, he thought he glimpsed somebody watching him from the upstairs window when he pulled up.
Good grief.
And what was his thought?
Oh, this is getting my mind crazy.
My dad, he's making me crazy, making me see things. So that's fun. And I think it was the same night that all of this happens. It's like school's out for summer. It's time to stay up late, play games. So they're playing Monopoly.
Aww.
He and the kids.
Big family guy. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's touching, actually. I love it.
Mm.
So he notices something. They're playing the game on the coffee table. He notices something behind the kiddos. Just a slight movement at first. And then he looks and he realizes this is a smoky black shadow figure of a man. So he described it as a solid, I guess I can't say solid, but a black mass that is the shape of a man, but inside of it is looks like smoke billowing. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard to describe, but I mean, that's as good as I can do. So he looks away thinking it'll go away like the old man. Mm-hmm. But whenever he looks back, it's still there.
Duh.
And it's not only still there, it's moving into the room directly behind his kiddos.
Oh, I bet you Papa's freaking out.
Yeah. So it disappears then. It just comes into the room. It's there for a moment, disappears. His car keys are laying there on the table. He grabs the keys and says, "Hey kids, let's go get a soda," like trying to keep cool. And his daughter kind of notices his hand shaking and knows something's up. Like she feels it. Something's mm-hmm. wrong with Dad. And so she gets the boys and like, let's go. Let's go get a soda. It's going to be great. Let's go. We have to get a soda right now.
It's going to be fun.
So he gets to the door, and as he is locking the door, he hears the first scream.
Oh my gosh.
I have chills because
I do too. I got goosey.
It's the sound of a tortured man screaming in pain. That's the scream of the Union Screaming House. It's coming from the house itself. It's like there's no origin. It's the house that's screaming just like this.
Holy crap.
Bodhi scared the crap out of me. He just walked into the door. I'm like,
I seen you look and jump.
Hi. Okay. This is too scary of a story. So the neighbor's dogs actually start barking at it. It's that
Shut
loud
up.
That the neighbor's dogs are reacting to it. So the kids hear it, of course. And so everybody bolts for the car.
They start running.
And they speed away. And his son, who sees the monsters, says that the basement monster is watching them from the upstairs window. And so he looks back and there is the black shadow smoky figure standing looking in the window, like out the window, watching them drive away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Shut up. I wouldn't go back.
I don't know that I could.
Uh-uh.
No.
You can have everything I own. I'm out. I live with mom.
Yeah. If I did, I would work nights. But you know, that doesn't work because the time that I saw the little girl in my house, I worked nights and I was sleeping through the day. So there's that. They all saw it. They go to his parents' house and stay. Screw that house.
Oh, yeah. See?
And so he had a business trip and so he was going to be away for a few days. So everybody got a break, right? They got to go back to the house in the daytime, pack up their stuff, and then be gone for a few days. He was gone from like Tuesday to Friday or something. So he returns and there's actually a few quiet nights at home. Other than these terrifying nightmares that he's having, mm-hmm. there's not really much else happening. You know, the casual box moving upstairs, falling over. And he always blames the kids for not stacking them right and they need to unpack their stuff. You know how that goes. But he goes to his parents for Sunday dinner and they return home. The kiddos go into a room. The boys are playing a game, a video game, and the daughter is reading. And they're all sitting in this bedroom together playing a game of reading. And Steven's watching TV and dozes off on the couch and he is awoken by his mom on the phone. So he gets on the phone with her and he's talking, you know, and then he hears the doors rattle. He's like, "Kids, stop messing around. I'm on the phone, damn it." And then he hears the doors rattle a little bit harder. And he's like, "Seriously," like he starts to say something again. And that's when the daughter yells back and says, "Dad, that's not us. The boys are asleep and I'm reading.
Whoa.
Like, we're not touching anything."
Mm-hmm.
And after she says that, the rattling becomes harder, louder,
Ugh. Like, is it just a door or a doors?
It's doors. Oh. Yeah. And then the room suddenly grows cold. The electric shock goes through his body. And then there was something new. This foul smell filled the air. Like rotting flesh is what he world? Said. I don't know how often he smelled that, but I don't know him. And then the screaming started.
Oh, man.
It was the same scream, started softly, but then grew till it was like deafening. It was crazy loud. But he can hear, through the screaming, he can hear the bedroom doors slamming shut.
Oh, no.
Yes. And his mother kind of like is screaming, can hear the screaming on the other end of the phone. And she's like, what the hell is going on? And he says, Mom, come help me. Please come help me. And he throws the phone down and runs to get his kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, Mom's freaking out.
Oh, yeah. She probably took flight straight there. I gotta help my baby. Aww. Yeah. So the entire house starts shaking. Yeah, Bo, I agree. And the screaming continues. While making his way to the bedroom door, he feels something behind him, following him, but he won't look.
So his boys are up there.
His boys and his daughter are in the same bedroom.
Okay, I didn't know if she went downstairs or not.
They're all in the same bedroom still.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, he won't look. He's not looking. I don't want to say it.
Can't do it.
He gets to the door, and he can't get it open.
Oh, no.
It's not locked. Remember, the locks are on the outside, and that's just dangling. So, but
why
he's
on the outside?
I don't even want to know. No. So he is slamming his body against the door, trying to get it open, and he cannot. It will not open. And he's screaming. The house is screaming. The house is shaking.
I'm sure the kids are screaming.
Yeah. And then he finally yells out, God, please help me. And the door gives way and lets him in.
Whoa.
Yeah. So the boys bolt from the room. They're out.
Yeah.
And run straight for the front door. I mean, they're the hell out of mm-hmm. there, right? His daughter is in shock.
Just standing there like.
Yeah. And so he's like, he can't get her to even move. She's
frozen.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has to like grab her and start running. So they run, and as they're running to the front door, he hears a door slam open behind them, like something just came through it.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't look. Just keep going.
Yeah. And he can feel something gaining on him. He's like, it's about to catch us. Oh. It's about to get us. And he's going as fast as he can to get out there.
Right now.
I know. But he will not dare turn around to see what's coming. Me either. He runs right out the door, straight to the car. And the sounds of the screaming, you can still hear it outside. The whole house is like alive.
Well, no wonder the neighbors won't go near it.
Yeah, no shit.
And I'm sure they hear this all the time.
Yeah. So he drives off. He goes to the top of the hill and parks. And he can see his house from where he's mm-hmm. parked. He's going to wait on his for his parents to come from up there. And he's watching and he can see the black mass going from
like
room to room, searching. And he feels that it's searching for them. Like, it's just going room to room, just between rooms.
Even if it's not searching for them, just it appearing and going in the house mm-hmm. looking for something.
Well, and that's what he was like. It was just searching for us. And then he was like, oh my God, it's looking for us. Like, what? Which, you know, is one of my problems with this story. I feel like if it's that in tune to you, it knew the moment you walked out of the house.
It'd be with you, wouldn't it?
I would think, but.
And he's not had problems like this before, so.
Not really. So after a few minutes, though, that blackness faded away into one of the rooms and the house went silent. It all just stopped.
I would not go back. That's strike two.
Well, he didn't. His parents, his mother, I think. Who was it? I don't know. He goes back to the house that night to get some of their things. And his parents go with him, his brother and his sister-in-law. Okay. And before his sister-in-law comes in, they hear something upstairs. And so they all go up together. And it's at this point that his mom says, "My grandkids are not coming back in this house." Like, mama puts her foot down, right? Mm-hmm. And so they all go upstairs after they hear this noise to investigate. Of course, right? And they all smell the foul smell.
Oh,
the
no.
Terrible foul smell. And then the sister-in-law comes in while they're upstairs. And she like yells for them and she comes upstairs where they're at. And it's at this time they hear a little girl scream out. Mm-hmm.
That's new.
Yeah. And then his sister-in-law gets freaked out because there's heavy breathing. Like the two of them are standing near each other and there's heavy breathing coming from between the two of them.
Whoa.
Where no one is standing, right? And so, screw this house.
You guys are on your own.
Then when they're leaving, there's like shadow figures in the trees, like jumping from limb to limb.
What?
And then they drop down to the ground and chase them back to their truck.
Okay, now that's crazy.
I agree. That's the point where I went,
maybe he just worked up and thought he'd seen stuff like that. But
six people.
Oh, well, never
mind. It was six people who saw it and ran from these things.
What is going on?
Yeah.
So that's got to be like the property, not just the house. It's got to be the whole property. Especially if they're outside. Shut up. Say the word for me.
Property.
Thank you. Anyway, moving on.
There's a second R in it.
I'm horrible at talking. Why do you even want me on here?
So, guys, that's a word that I make her say often for me. And now you know why. Because it's great. It it's like secretary.
Shut up!
Oh, God.
Continue, please.
So, it's probably the property.
I hate my life.
So basically this guy says, screw this house, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how that went. Now, did his troubles stop? No.
Really?
Yeah. No,
like after he left the house, it did not. Did he have like nightmares, or did
the nightmares continued? He had a terrible, terrible depression.
I bet.
Yeah. He ends up losing his job.
Ew.
Which, I don't know. I'm trying to say, like, does that lend to the depression? I don't know, because he seemed to have that before, but just so it's out there.
Yeah, but where's he at now? Is he living with parents? I mean, he's...
Yes, but then he ends up getting a duplex. So the only way that he can get out of his lease, funny story, the only way he can get out of his lease, the landlord is very, very nice about it.
She probably knows, or he, or the landlord probably knows.
In my experience with landlords, he's very nice about it. And not that I've ever had any problem with a landlord, but I'm just saying. He says, the only way I'll let you out of your lease is if we find somebody to take over your lease. Which, duh. I mean, you're not just going to not get rent money, right? Mm-hmm. That's me doing you wrong. So, I get it. Except for, did the landlord know? Yeah. So, anyway, it doesn't matter. He says, okay, that's a deal. And the landlord says, hey, I have this cousin. They need a place to stay. Maybe this is going to work out just fine for everybody. Well, Steven says, okay, that's fine. That's great. Let's do this. I want out of this lease because I'm paying rent on a place I can't live in. But I have one condition. you do not let a family move in here if they have children. And he's like, oh, of course.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So Stephen and his dad go and they pack up all of their belongings on their moving day. And they're getting ready to leave and the landlord pulls up. And then another car pulls up. And out runs two little kids into the house. Mm. So he was furious because he did rent to another family. And one interesting thing that they found during the short time they were in the house was they found there was a shed in the backyard and they found all these belongings like family photos, marriage licenses, stuff that you don't leave from like seven different families.
You think they just up and peeled out?
That was the idea, that they just left and said, screw it, I don't even care.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah.
So he found a duplex, though.
So he did find a duplex, and they moved into that. So
well, I was just getting that maybe if he was living with his parents still, that's without rough. A job, mm-hmm. wife did him like that, and then all this went down. That's enough to drive anybody with depression.
Yeah. So he's trying to, like, find a way to cope with all this, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get past this? Going from not really having an opinion on the paranormal, not believing in it, to being slapped in the face and beaten up with it.
Like, way down the rabbit hole. Yeah.
So he is having one of his nights of nightmares and can't sleep. So he gets up and gets online and he writes a story in an online forum thinking, somebody out there has to know how to help me. Somebody has to be able to say, this is what you do to move past right. what you've experienced. And his email blows up.
Wow.
With people trying to offer help, trying to say, you're crazy. All, you know, yeah, the gamut. Yeah,
people are mean.
Uh-huh. So he ends up getting in contact with the woman who at this point lives in the house. She wants to talk to him.
Really?
Yes.
Is this the person that had two kids or is this a different person?
This is a different person.
Okay.
So she, her name is Helen. And she has had some experiences in the house and she wanted to talk to him. Okay. And so she explains the weird way that the landlord acts, like he had to meet her at a restaurant to sign the lease. And
did the same thing.
Yes. And he couldn't be at the house after dark. Like it was all the same thing. Now he had written about this online.
Oops.
So does she know that? And that's why she's saying that. I don't like oh. those, you know,
yeah.
that's, I don't know that. I mean, but I'm saying like if he
did
hadn't.
Did she lead on like she if, went through the same thing?
Yeah. If mm-hmm. he hadn't said all that, would she have offered that information? I don't know. So she starts telling him about some of the paranormal experiences she's had. Okay. And so she first noticed breathing. Right next to her when she was alone, just breathing in midair, nothing there. And then there'd be footsteps upstairs and then they would hear footsteps coming down the stairs. And then there started to get some real dark stuff happening. Like the hair on her daughter's dolls was being chopped off.
What the?
Yeah. I mean, I'm blaming the kid for that, but whatever. I mean, it could be something
well,
that's
some weird. Creep. That's some,
but
wow.
But then, really sick thing. She has a new kitten.
Oh, no.
And she takes the grandbaby upstairs to see the new kitten. And they find the kitten with a broken back and a broken neck dead on the floor.
What?
Yeah. That's so sad.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's messed up. And then she's at home alone one night and the cops show up. And they say they received a suicide call from that house.
Huh?
Yeah. But she was alone, had been alone, had not called the cops. She didn't know what was going on.
That's some far-fetched stuff.
Yeah. And then her grandson is pushed down the stairs.
Uh-oh.
And he gets pretty bruised up and he's hurt. So he ends up moving out. I think it's her daughter's son, and he ends up moving into his dad's house. He completely leaves.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's a little guy. And then she thinks that she can see somebody watching her from the windows when she leaves. sound familiar. The lights are always on, or the doors are open, or the windows are open when she comes home.
Wow.
Yeah. But then there's other weird stuff, like the gutters catch fire.
How does that happen? That's weird.
And then the transformer outside blows up every few months.
Yeah. They need to tear the house down.
So they decide together they need to investigate this. And so they decide to go to the library and find some history. And they don't find a whole lot. And I know you looked into the history. And so what did you find about the history? You mentioned a name. And so what was really funny is the name that was said in the book and the name that you found online is similar, but not the same.
Mr. It was like a Colonel Crow or something like that.
John.
That's right.
John T. Crow is what you found. And in his book, he says John T. Cromwell.
Well, that's odd.
Yeah.
Because everything I found about John T. Crow was everything about Union, all the military background he had, helping his father.
He did work, or he did, he was a Union soldier, but many people believed he was a Southern sympathizer and that he was only the Union side because it was the most profitable for him.
Mm-hmm.
If this is the same guy, which I don't know how we have two John T. C's and it not be the same guy. But also, he owned slaves.
His wife owned slaves. His wife and... It was his wife owned slaves with her father that lived on their property. You're welcome.
There it is. So... From what I understood from the book, is that the slave quarters were located right where the house sits.
Mm-hmm. I read the same.
So I don't know what that has to do with anything. We talk about the history a lot, and I mean, of these places. And this story is one that, funny enough, is flip-flopped the other way to where there are a ton of experiences, but not the history to back them up. And so there's a lot of talk of maybe witchcraft or some of the slaves practicing, they said voodoo, but they always say voodoo. So
did you ever read that someone had told Stephen to look up John Crow or whatever he called his last name? And when he did, he seen the picture and he compared it to the basement monster.
No.
I read that once.
I know. Maybe I missed it, but I just read the book. So I don't know how I missed that. But I know you had said that he had seen a picture of him and said, oh, that's the guy I saw.
I just feel like that's how this crow guy came about.
Yeah. How he was connected to this story.
Right. Because what I read is Mr. Crow lived 9 miles out of Union, but he owned a lot of property in Union. And one of them was where the slaves were kept. And then I think there was a lot of military action on that same location.
Definitely. Yeah. There was rumor that there were 6 Confederate soldiers that were executed on this property. That there is a nursing home on the hill right there, and it used to be an infirmatory.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Infirmatory. You're getting to me.
I'll blame it on me.
Yeah, I am. An infirmary.
Good girl.
Thank you. I sounded it out. For the Civil War. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
What it was for, but anyway. And then after that, it was a poor folks home, so there was a lot of disease, tuberculosis, mm-hmm. So that kind of thing, you know, that's
so the land itself had a lot of potential.
Yeah, but also this poor folks home, when they had people die of these diseases, you know, they just shuck them people in the ground as fast as possible because they thought they would spread the disease. Yeah. And so there were a ton, it's believed, there that's like a mass unmarked grave right there too.
That's the people jumping tree to tree right there.
Probably. I don't know. But anyway, so it's very weird what starts happening with this lady. Okay. He pretty much just decides he's going to help her.
He's the one that needs help too. So,
yeah. Aww. And so he's over there for one. Weird stuff starts going down. Okay. I'm not going to go into it all. It's honestly, it's too much. It's too much for me to even go into. Look it up. it's so many claims, and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This episode would be 4 hours long if I did all of it, which is why this one's so crazy to me. This woman went through so much.
Is she still live there, I wonder?
And stayed in the house.
No way. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Could not do it.
So her daughter tells her, her grown daughter that lives with her, tells her that she saw a dead baby hanging from the tree out front.
What in the world?
Not by its neck. I know that's what everybody's going to think, but no, by its foot. So he comes over to the house that next night. He's like, okay, I'm going to stay with you guys. You know, her husband worked nights, so the women were there alone at night. And so he comes over and they all three see it. The baby hanging from its foot, wearing a white christening gown.
No, can't do it.
Just swinging in the tree. Like, what? And then she calls him one night whenever it starts. I mean, when it starts going down. Okay, it's going down. She calls him and says something is growling at her. And it keeps getting closer and closer. Like, all day it's happened. And it just gets closer all the time.
She just stays in the house.
Yeah. So he rushes over to her house. And he sits there with her while they keep hearing this growling.
Why not? What else do I have to do?
So then they're sitting there listening to this growling all over the place. And he kind of like calls that out one time and is like, you know, just leave her alone. Stop. And they're sitting there and she shows him she has a bite mark on her arm.
Whoa.
That's the first of many bite marks that she gets.
What?
Yeah. This woman becomes... They don't say possessed, they say oppressed. What's because that mean? A full possession would take an exorcism to cure, if you will. Mm-hmm. But an oppression, it can be taken care of with less extreme measures.
What and is so it exactly?
A possession, what's but not to the extent. Just she's like not that far gone.
Half-ass?
I'm going to explain. She is a sweet grandma. Mm. They actually have like, they go to the Limp Mansion, funny enough, when they're first doing some of this investigations. And they meet this woman there who is a medium or something. She's a paranormal investigator. I do know that. And so she comes to help them. The woman comes to the house and this is the first paranormal investigator that they have. Come to the house with them. She has her little sidekick guy. And they walk up the stairs and the lady is in front of them, he and Helen. And they feel something rush past them toward her. And then she is lifted off the ground.
The medium?
And thrown, yes. Oh. And thrown into the wall. And she gets up and says, you guys better go downstairs and wait.
And she's like, I'm taking this on.
Yeah, she was fine. Which is weird.
What?
And then she comes and tells them that they have a man that is there that does not like it when other people live there. And she tells them that there is a vortex in the basement where spirits can come and go freely. And that means bad ones too. Bad things can also come through this. And that's what she tells them. And then she leaves.
What?
She's done.
She didn't, like, close the vortex?
No. See, and that's what every one of them does. Every team that comes in, they capture some EVPs, they get some pictures, they talk to some people, and then they leave. Nobody solves the problem. Whoa. So they make their own paranormal investigation group. They put together, I think it was called Missouri Paranormal Research. I feel like it was MPR.
So they're feeding off of this.
Not really.
Oh.
They're like, how can you just come in and do this and then just leave and not help?
Uh-huh.
And so they're at the point, they're like,
we'll do this ourselves.
Let's put our group together and then we will follow through and fix things. Mm-hmm. And you are our first case. And so she's never alone. There's always some person from the group that stays with her in the house. This group is torn apart.
Mm.
First, one guy completely loses his mind.
Oh my God.
And has to be institutionalized.
What?
Yes. The guy who was completely with it before he came in there has to be institutionalized. Then the other members just leave. They all just start hating each other and break up.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which the house is blamed for.
Well, yeah.
So he starts noticing that she is really being affected. Her blood pressure will go way high, but her heart rate will go way down at the same time.
That don't make sense.
And so she has she's sick. She's very sick from what's going on. And then her moods change. She starts cursing a lot. Her daughter starts acting weird too. So she will wake up in the middle of the night to her daughter standing at the foot of her and her husband's bed.
Ugh.
Just standing there. She wakes up one night and her daughter's standing on the stairs, just standing there. And then she starts having thoughts of killing her husband.
Oh, like she will. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she calls him and she's like freaking out, crying, and is like, I wanted to just bash his head in while he slept. Like, I thought I could really do that. And so she's getting scared of her own self. And so this keeps going on and keeps going on. He takes her to a priest and they have the house blessed. That priest didn't give two shits. He ran in, threw some holy water around and left. I mean, he just half-assed it.
Struggling getting help.
They are. Nobody wants to help them. And so she starts thinking that her husband is cheating on her. And like she is
starting to hate him.
Yeah. She goes to his place of work with a knife. Tries to kill him. Not the normal.
Grandma
Helen. And then, so when it finally breaks, she shows up at Steven's house and she's banging on the door like, let me in, mother effer, let me in the door. His cats are what stopped him from opening the door. He said their reaction, they got between him and the door and they were hunched up, you know, like cats do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, eh. And then she started talking the way she was and he was like, okay. So then he gets a call from her daughter. And her daughter says, do not open the door if my mom comes. She has a gun and it's loaded. Like, just do not open the door. So he ends up getting Helen on the phone later. And she is in her car with the gun, threatening to kill herself. And he gets her to put the gun away. And then suddenly it's like Helen's back and she's talking normal and she has no idea where she is or how she got there. She's sitting in her car somewhere and does not know anything that has happened.
Whoa.
Yes. And so he asks her, so you're missing time. How often does this happen? And she was like, it's been going on for this many months. And she's like, it started as like minutes. And then it would be few hours. And she's like, now we're up to weeks sometimes. That so weeks are just
geez.
Gone. Yeah. So he's like, okay, she's possessed. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to get her somewhere. So she apparently was not possessed because, you know, like I said, the experts say it takes a full-on exorcism at that point, and she did not undergo a full-on exorcism. She just went through a lot of prayer and a lot of healing spiritually from, they finally were able to find a priest that helped them, and she did fine after that. But it was like, until that point, he took her to the hospital one night and her blood pressure was 206 over 190. It was like insane. Mm-hmm. But her heart rate was like 40.
That's not.
And they were like, we don't know how to fix this, because to fix it's one, usually, you're going to screw high, the other.
Yeah.
But that was like the normal thing that happened to her whenever this stuff was going on, is those things would do just that. It would go super high and then super low on the heart rate.
Yeah, that don't make sense at all.
No. But she did get help. She did get better.
What about the house?
She moved.
Thank gosh.
Yeah. So she had moved before. She moved out before the whole oppression thing. I don't remember at what point she moved out, but it did go with her. She was already under the control. Gosh. Before she left. So like, it didn't help for her just to leave and it was over like that. It wasn't like that. But anyway, that's the Union Screaming House. Tell me that's not terrifying.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very terrifying. So I thought it was absolutely insane. And I mean, we've run really long on this episode because I wanted to give as many details as I can. And like I said, I got a ton more. Like, we could have went for hours talking about this. And that's one reason I think that people don't believe it, is there's too much. It's too good to be true. I mean, I don't.
When you have my heart racing a couple times, though.
I know. But when you hear the things that these people have gone through, I can't say you're lying to me. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't do that to them. I don't like the story. I hope they're lying to me, because I don't want any of that to be
true.
That's
some far-fetched stuff to make up, though.
It is. It is. And so I just thought this was such a fantastic story.
It's a good one for a Halloween month.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you look up the book, it's called The Uninvited, The True Story of the Union Screaming House. I think it's the actual title of it. And just the cover is like, ooh, it's terrifying. Gross. Yeah. So, and he's done a lot of interviews, a lot of appearances. I didn't reach out. I wasn't really sure how I would take the story. And so I thought, well, if I want to say, I don't believe you, then I don't, I don't want to have him on for an interview and not believe him. Right. But I'm not willing to say that because of the, just what they went through, like
mentally.
Yeah,
the mental trauma.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
So there it is. What do you think?
No
No.
I hats off to him for getting out after a few days. I mean,
yeah.
And then poor Grandma Helen.
I know,
went through all that.
God,
the kids. Oh, heck no. And I wouldn't even think would ever want to investigate a place like that.
Mm-mm. No. I ain't investigating it. No way.
Hell no.
I've seen so many YouTube videos doing research on this over the last few weeks that, and they're all like, it ruined my life. Investigating that place one night, it ruined my life. But then I see like Paranormal Task Force, they're there all the time. So I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
They're like, meh, we're already right. Possessed. It's fine. I don't know those guys. It's not nice of me to talk like that about.
I'm not
about.
Good enough to do it yet.
No, I don't think I will be. That's what I'm scared of.
I'll stick to podcasting.
I want
to
see.
You know, I can't talk.
I want to see so many of these places, but this is one I can honestly say, I don't want anything to do with it. I might drive by,
Then you'd see the person in the window.
Yeah.
The monster in the window.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, well, great. Just
nightmares begin.
Take me to the Catholic church up the road. I'm going to go get myself blessed. Oh, gosh. So I know, guys, this is a long one. This is a much longer episode than normal. And we didn't even do history. I mean, mm-hmm. we just talked about, that could have been this guy and this, mm-hmm. but no. According to the story, it was a demon, so it was not that guy.
The crow or whatever?
Yeah.
He was a very nice gentleman who cared, like, turned down a position in the military because one of the older fellers wanted it and had more experience. Yeah,
you said that.
Like, he was so nice to everybody.
And when I read about it in LaChance's book, that's what makes me think it's not the same guy, but I don't know how it can't be. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I'm talking about a good military guy, so there you go. I don't care that I'm wrong with the name or it's the wrong guy. I talked him up.
I just think this is a funny episode because of how much you and I are into the history. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm so uncomfortable. Like, I feel uncomfortable right now because of the story that we just told. Because we love the history, and the scary is not really my forte. So when I'm telling a story that is all scary, no history, it doesn't feel right.
You said they went to the library to find history, but you never really said if they
there wasn't really much history on it. It was a package. It was like a pack deal from Sears. So it was like, what would that be called?
What do you mean?
Oh, the house. You know, like the house.
The kit?
Yeah. It was a kit from Sears in like 1936 or something like that.
That's the history they found?
Yeah. That's what the house was. And I don't think they found that. I think they found that at like the courthouse or something. That wasn't even something they found at the library.
From Sears?
Yeah.
Like they had their house delivered from Sears?
Yeah.
Weird. Oh, another weird. But I'm sure it was by railroads.
Yeah.
Because that was the popular thing back then, I'm sure.
Yeah, the railroad isn't far from it, so it was just dropped off right there.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. Weird.
Shut up. I was attached to that word in that.
We don't have any new reviews. Aww. Probably because we never put out an episode on time anymore.
I'm slackers.
Listen, I was like, there's got to be some history on this place. I couldn't come up with any more. And like I said, I don't like the scary stories, but that's why I put this one in the Halloween month, because it's freaking scary. Like, I don't mm-hmm. like it. I don't like it at all. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm not happy with how I feel right now. I have to go to bed. I'm going to have nightmares.
Oh, jeez. So, I'm glad I don't work tomorrow.
So, we have no new reviews this week. Like I said, sorry we put out episodes late. Life has gotten to me. So
a creepy podcast.
I mean,
creepy pasta.
Well, I mean, that's the idea.
With your sister. So it's not like we didn't release anything.
That's true.
We better go. We're way in.
We're so far over. All right, guys. Have a great week. Leave us a review.
And stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe, stay healthy. And thank you again. Let everybody know that you listen to us and that we're great.
Yes.
And please. We're all right. Sometimes we put out an episode on time.
We're fine.
We love you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.